when we wanted to go back to the main island, the boat sunk. There was big waves crashing on top of the boat, and it turned around, and everything and everyone went to the sea.
And it was nighttime, right?
Or it was sunset time, and quickly it started to be nighttime. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Hi, this is Iris,
and this is Sophia,
and you're listening to Undressed.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you feeling today?
Very good. How are you?
Good as well.
We're very excited to have you here.
Yes, okay. We're very excited today. We have a very special guest. It's one of Iris' besties.
My bestie. I have two of my besties today. I'm happy.
We know each other for a very long time.
Yeah, a long time. We're going to talk about that. Do you want to like introduce your name and age?
Age? Specifically age?
You can skip that.
You're the baby here, so you're lucky.
Okay. So my name is Guilherme. Most people call me Guy because it's just easier to call me Guy. And I'm 29 years old.
You're almost 30. You're almost the same age.
30 next year.
Yeah, no, you're the same age. Yeah.
You're from 95. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Cute 95 babies.
95
so,
babies.
Yeah, we know each other for a long time.
It's true.
We met in school, but you were like
12 years old or something like that.
Yeah, 3 years younger than me. So I remember. Do you remember how we met?
I do.
I do. Do you want to tell your versions to see if it matches mine?
Are you sure?
Yes. Because I don't. I remember, but I don't know how it is from your perspective. If I was a creep or not.
So back in the days, we were big time emos.
Yeah.
And I remember being at school in the gap between classes.
Yeah.
Having some snacks or something like that, and you approached me with some other friends of yours.
Yeah, that's why he was a little bit intense.
saying that you'd like to be my friend and that you like to meet me.
And that's true.
How I everything can imagine started. Like you with your other friends, and they're like, "I want that one."
It was exactly.
I want to be your friend.
So basically, if you're like an alternative kid, you usually end up in a really tiny group of friends because like the whole school doesn't dress the way you dress and mm-hmm. like the stuff you like. So in school, I have like a small group of friends, and I always spotted him around like, he's another emo, so you should be with us. Like, we should, you know. And I spotted him sometimes, like, with other friends that didn't match, like, the whole aesthetic and everything. So I was like, he's so cute. And one day I gained the courage of, like, we're going to approach him and he's going to be our friend.
It's just funny because you were way older than me.
Yeah.
And you were being, like, the shy person trying to interact.
Yeah. That's what I'm shy. So yeah, and back then we started being friends, like, you're gonna be my friend. And then we were friends, and we're friends till today. That was like, what,
how many years ago?
15
like
years
that.
Or so.
16.
That's crazy. So back then he was really he was like a baby. He was like really like tiny, dressed like an emo. He was so, cute. So I was like, you're gonna be my son. And he called me mom and I called him son. So it was very cute.
So oh, that's so cute. That's such a cute story. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, she forced me to do it. You have to come in, mom.
Like, I don't want to go to school. There's a mom there. There's a lady there that makes me call her mom.
And back I also have a dad.
It was a little weird.
I had an entire family. You remember?
We made a family. Oh, yeah, we did. We had a father.
You had a father. Wait, who was the father?
Oh, my God. We did have. Yes. But I wasn't dating him. It was just my friend. It was also like an alternative kid in a way, but he was my age, so he adopted him as a father.
Okay.
And we were a whole family. But he's long gone, like I don't know anything.
And
about
I also
him.
Had uncles and stuff like that.
You did?
Wow. Such a big family.
She had a big idea already. This person is going to be that family member. This person is going to be
imagine
that family member.
Be like, you're the dog, and you're the kitten.
Imagine. Yeah, it got us through high school, so it was a fun idea. And we stuck being friends.
Yep.
And yeah, now you're so, like, we are both so different from back then. And you started, like, doing a lot of traveling, and
true.
That's why we invited you today, because you have a project now, in a more serious note. And we want to know a little bit more about that and the whole project. Like, what was your first trip or what got you into doing this project?
Yeah. So back in the days when I finished university, I never really had the chance to travel outside of Vigo, which is just like
Spain. Yeah.
Spain. So once I finished it, I was super excited to move abroad, go have other experiences and just do whatever I could in other country. I started in Edinburgh. I moved there because I had some friends there and I stayed with them for like 2 months, I think. In the beginning, it was like, okay, this was the dream to travel. Yeah. But I didn't really felt like I enjoyed the city that much, you know. Mm-hmm. I had super high expectations and then I arrived and I was like, oh, this is what traveling is about. because I don't know, it just didn't connect with my interest at the moment.
But back then it was like a trip for like tourism, or you went to live there?
I wanted to live there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The goal was to earn money. To go to Australia was always the goal.
The dream,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And then on the end, I was not being able to find a job. Also because my English was not that good at the moment. Yeah. And Scottish is not that easy to understand. Yeah. So I ended up moving to London. And I think in London, everything like kind of started. And I kind of felt like, okay, this is what I came to see. You know?
Something more like different.
Yeah. Also because I don't know if you remember, but I had the fashion brand back then.
Oh yeah, you did. That's true.
And
did
London.
You also study fashion design?
No, I studied graphic design and multimedia and stuff like that. But London was just that city of inspiration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because all the brands that I used to like, enjoy, and be inspired with was there. So yeah, I loved London in the first month. I ended up staying there for like 7-9 months, something like that.
Working.
And then I moved to Amsterdam.
So yeah. Edinburgh was the first, then London, then Amsterdam.
In the meantime, I went to Morocco. But was only like a trip.
Like
was
vacation.
Was not to live there.
So in those places you were really like working. So back then you were just like, I want to live abroad and work abroad to gain experience. But you didn't have like the like travel project yet.
No.
Yeah. We're just like gaining experience and trying to live abroad.
Yeah. The idea was more to do like a gap year.
Yeah.
Just travel as further as I could.
Yeah.
Try to get to Australia. Yeah, that was the
Why
main
Australia?
Goal.
Why Australia?
I don't know, because back then I actually had a magazine that was called Disillusion. That was like my main source of inspiration. And I remember seeing many articles about surfers in Australia. And I wanted to see how life was in the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like to see all those animals, all those beaches, all those, lifestyle.
And is the exact opposite from Portugal. It's like the furthest you can travel.
It's also like the thing. Like I want to see what's on the other side of the world.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So between those three places for now, Edinburgh, London and Amsterdam, you prefer which one to live in?
If I could choose right now, I would go back to Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
I think it's a way more. You have work, but you can also have a life there.
Yeah.
Because it's just easier to move from place to place. It's just easier to visit friends.
Okay.
In London, it's a huge city. Back in the days, I wound up staying working way more hours. I just think that Amsterdam is a bit more equilibrated.
Yeah, like balanced.
Balanced.
Yeah. Lifestyle. Yeah. London, like a lot of people, like everyone that I know that lives in London, lives very far from each other, like you were saying, because you have the center, but then people find like good prices for homes move like so far from the center. So I understand what you're saying. So how wild was your life in Amsterdam?
The question what everyone wanted question. To make.
She already know the answer. Well, I enjoyed.
You had fun.
Yeah, I had fun.
How long were you there?
8 months, something eight like months. That. My best friend was living there as well.
Yeah.
So I already had some friends when I arrived.
Of course.
And Amsterdam is a wild place.
Please.
Yeah.
Is it that wild like people think it is? Like a lot of drugs? A lot of party?
Yeah, a lot of party.
A lot of
yeah,
party?
I heard there's like loads of parties in bunkers.
There's some themed bunkers.
Yeah.
There's one called Shelter.
Yeah, that's Shelter. The one I heard about.
It's actually a very funny place because in the daytime, in the afternoon, you pass by there and you don't see the entrance.
Okay. Oh, cool.
And when the time comes, a door comes out of the floor.
That's wow. so cool.
Yeah, and you go.
Okay, but that's kind of scary though.
Rave.
Is it not like very claustrophobic?
Sophia's panic.
I don't think I could party like that. I know my limit.
I don't think so. I never thought about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like what, techno? What or
it's mainly techno.
Mainly techno.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. What after Amsterdam?
Amsterdam was in 2000 and
18, 19.
Okay, so pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like 3 years before COVID.
Yeah.
Or two, I don't know, something like that. Then when the time arrived to go to Australia, when I had the money that I wanted to have
mm-hmm.
before moving, I had to go to the English exam and stuff like that. I came back to Portugal to finish the exam and to fill some like the visas and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to live in Australia by myself.
Yay! That was it. Bye, guys.
That was a quick like reach
that
of
was
the goal.
Very quick.
Like London, Amsterdam, yeah. straight to Australia.
Yeah, that was so quick.
Yeah, it was like 2 years of yeah. gap.
Can we ask like how much money did you put together?
How many money?
To be able to go. Like, how did you come up with an amount, you know? Like,
you have to have a specific amount to go to Australia.
Oh, okay.
That's a requirement.
What? Really?
Yeah. There's some requirements to get the
no
visa.
No poor people. Don't come here if you're poor.
Well, in a way, I kind of understand. Because you have to go there with a goal and not to... I don't know, like, stay in a bad position.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, you have to be, you have to have sufficient
to have
funds.
Like a roof over your head. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. The required amount was like 5,000, something like that.
Okay.
And you had to prove that. There's also some requirements, like you can't have children. You have to have a master's.
Oh.
Yeah, bachelor's degree, yeah.
Wow, they are very snobby. I just want single people, very smart and with a lot of money.
Literally.
Wow.
But what was that to apply to a visa to work there?
Yeah, work on holiday visa.
So if you have kids, you cannot go to like work there?
No, maybe you can have a different kind of visa, but not the visa that I applied
for. Did you apply? Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, makes sense, yeah. Okay, wow. Okay, so that was in like 2019, 2018?
2019, I think.
Okay.
And I end up staying for like 7 months, something like that. And then COVID hit.
Okay.
And all the borders start to close.
And you were stuck in Australia?
Yeah, I was actually having some holidays in Bali because at that specific time and place, no one really thought that COVID was that
serious.
Yeah, I remember Australia was pretty chill in the beginning. Or like throughout the whole thing, I think.
No,
right?
I think in the beginning it was pretty chill.
Okay, and then they got strict.
Then it got strict, yeah. Like no one could
go in
and go out.
Okay.
And I remember arriving back there from Bali like 20 minutes before the borders closed.
Wow.
So if I had some delays on the flight or something like that, I don't think I would be able to get inside of the country. And I had all my belongings there, like my laptop.
And you would be like either back to Portugal or back to Indonesia. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's insane.
Crazy. But I feel like everyone had that same perspective, either if you're traveling or not. I remember being back home and like seeing the news, but I was like, okay, it's just a pandemic, you know? I was not like...
You have no idea. Like, I was living in London and I left the apartment as it was. Like, bed unmade. Like, and I was like, I'm going to be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then, like...
How much time did you take
in? I don't know. Like, I had to hire... I could not travel. Like, we couldn't travel. So, I had to hire, like, a company to go inside my apartment. And I asked a friend... Like, I basically emailed the key to my apartment to a friend. And my friend had to go and open the door to these guys, to the van. And they had to put everything inside a van. Like, she helped us. She helped them. And they shipped everything back to Portugal.
Yeah.
Because we were stuck home for like a year or so.
Yeah.
We could never imagine. Or maybe more.
It was insane.
At least for me, it felt like ages.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted to go back. Yeah. And I was like, okay, next month. Okay, in 2 months. Okay, in Christmas. Okay. Yeah.
you wanted to go back from...
To Australia.
To Australia. Because then you, from Bali, you went to Australia. But you had to... come back home. So I remember back then you had to talk with like embassy and everything to be back home.
Yeah, I had a repatriation flight.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because all the other flights, like commercial flights, were
being canceled. Mm-hmm. Many people stuck in a
layover
places.
That's insane. Yeah.
That was crazy. It was a normal flight. Did you feel normal? How was
not
it?
At all.
Not at all. Yeah.
No. So it was like a Swiss repatriation flight.
Oh my God.
I had to go to Sydney to take it, and I was living in Cairns.
Okay.
So I had to take one flight from Cairns to Sydney. And this was before I stayed 2 weeks in an Airbnb place, stuck there. I couldn't leave the house because when I arrived back to Australia, they had to put people
having
quarantine. Yeah, and all my friends at that time left the country. As well. So I was just
home.
Like stuck in an Airbnb place for 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
And there was like police cars doing patrol and stuff like that.
Crazy. It seems like now looking back, and I can imagine for me it's weird that I was at home. I imagine for you that had that experience, but like it feels so surreal still. We lived it, but it still feels like a movie or so.
I feel like I cannot believe we all... Like, I cannot believe that happened. Like, I feel like if it was now, people wouldn't get, like, into it as we did.
Maybe, I don't know. But I feel like when shit happens, like, you just... There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
That's why everyone stayed home, because you can't really fight
but
it.
But people were going crazy. Like, people were, like, buying all of the toilet paper. And
oh, my God, yes.
People were not going outside at all.
Yeah, in Australia, it was crazy. Like people fighting in the supermarkets. The shelves were empty with no toilet paper. Like the toilet paper were the thing in Australia.
Yeah, in London too, I remember. Okay, but back to Australia. You stay there for 8 months before like shit went down.
Yeah.
Was it everything you dreamed of?
Yes, I loved Australia a lot.
Oh, that's nice.
I think it was a moment in my life that I think my mentality kind of changed. In the way of inspiration and in the way of, I don't know how to put it, but like believing in myself, you know, because it's like the goal and you have many steps to overcome to achieve it. Nowadays, it seems like, okay, just go to Australia. No, it's just easier because I think I conquered it. So for me, just like speaking about this now, it's just like, okay, you were a kid, like it was not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But in that moment, for me, it felt like it, you know, because I was by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I had to save that amount of money.
Yeah.
I had to go to other countries in order to save more money to go to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think if I would live in Portugal, I could achieve that amount so quicker.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was a lot of steps to conquer.
It was like the peak of the dream. Like, it felt good.
Yeah.
And that's so important. I feel like we should celebrate when we reach, like, a goal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So it's still the place where you would choose to live now? An evil one.
Maybe not, maybe yes. Okay. It depends on a lot of topics.
Right.
Family is a big topic when it comes to move to other country to live. And Australia it's a very far away, as we all know. Yeah, maybe some years.
Okay. Yeah. So back then you were in Australia before the COVID. Have you thought about the project of a red tour?
I was doing Morocco book.
So after that vacation you did to Morocco, you started like thinking about the project.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
How did it came to be? Do you think I'm just going to do this book or I'm going to, this can be a thing and I can do a lot of books? How did it seem in the beginning? Do you think of a big project? It was just like something small and then you think, maybe this could be a thing.
I think it started as something small.
Yeah.
I actually started it as a free downloadable book.
Oh, online?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Was it just with photography or also with some text?
With some text and design and photography. Mm-hmm. The main goal was to combine all of those experiences that I was living in stuff that I could have in my hands. Because I never really... It's not that I never really, but I'm not a big, huge fan of social media. Mm-hmm. And the book for me is way more like a material thing that I can hang.
Yeah.
And like a decoration thing as well.
Yeah.
So it started like that. As a free thing, then people, friends, families started to ask me to print it because they wanted to keep it.
Yeah.
And it just started like that.
Yeah. That's good because you can put your like design skills from your studies to the project and still like combine it to your traveling, which is more of like, I don't know, like a life goal.
Yeah.
So it's cool that you can combine both on this project. So the Morocco book was the red one?
Yeah.
That was the first one that you made?
That was the first one.
Yeah. When did you have like the thought of maybe I can do another one?
I actually end up enjoying a lot of the process.
Yeah.
Because you have to rethink the experiences that you lived in a different way. Because you have to show people what you have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the goal with Red Tour from the beginning. Like, okay, there is countries to live, there is countries to travel to.
Mm-hmm.
But in my perspective, there is also countries that can change your perception of the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what you are used to, the mentality that you have. And I believe this because I lived in a country for longer than just being a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Red Tour started as a way to show people that traveling could give you other ways of seeing the world, seeing yourself, getting inspired, and also show different experiences in the country.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Because you can think about Morocco, for example, and many people can see it in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that I approached Morocco was as a way to get to the desert and sleep in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Was always like, all my books have like
an
experience behind it, a goal behind it, that in my way change mentality when you are on the way to achieve that that place, that goal, that that dream in the end.
And I feel it's very different. Like there's a lot of like traveling books, obviously, already out from other people. But I feel like yours are very like, not niche, but it's like something is you don't go do the touristy things or you don't go like show the best coffee places. It's very unique, the thing that you decide to do on that specific country or city. So it's going to be a different kind of, it's almost like a little story within a traveling book with photos and everything. But like it's a very specific story of your own, so it can bring like awareness to other types of things that happen on those countries besides the touristy things that people know already about.
Yeah.
And first you did the red book, so
it was not on purpose.
Okay.
So I had the name before I knew that the book was going to be red.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was just like a coincidence to be red.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So after COVID, you were allowed to travel again. Where did you head to?
How was that? How was
that freedom?
How was COVID for you? Like, do you enjoy being home here in Portugal?
No, not at all. No. At that time, I was really living the life that I wanted, the life that I put it as the goal to be living. And I was having a lot of fun surfing in Australia, meeting many people, just getting inspired. And I had goals, okay, in the end of the month, I'm going to live in Perth. I'm going to move back. I'm going to move to Perth. And then I'm going to the outback. So I had all these ideas in my head already. Like, I need some month in here. I need some month in there. And from a sudden, everything changed. My mom was really pushing me to come back to Portugal.
I bet.
Because actually, we no one knew what was going on. So in the end, it just felt like safer to be with someone that I knew. And not alone in the other side of the world. But yeah, I remember being all the time like thinking when I could go back.
Yeah.
Like watching the news, see when the borders could open.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a moment in my life that was like waiting.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Like stopping not, all your dreams for a
not,
while.
Not really like living in the present.
Yeah.
Just waiting for the something to happen.
Yeah, I feel like it was like that for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Everything was on hold.
I remember you were like always checking when Japan would open.
It took forever. Yeah. It was one of probably the last place to open borders again. But yeah, everything was on hold. I remember I had that trip planned and I had to cancel everything. And it was always like, maybe I'm going to cancel and reschedule for like 2 months. Mm-hmm. Then 6 months. I was like always, you know, thinking that it's going to be like 1 month at home. Maybe six, maybe 1 year. And all of a sudden it was like, I think it took almost 3 years for them to open. Because they opened in 2022.
Yeah.
So it was crazy.
Okay. Oh my God. But yeah. What was after COVID? You finally went back to Australia or you...
After COVID, I went to Greece. Okay. And that's when I did the Greece book.
Okay.
I came back to Portugal. And then when the borders of Indonesia opened, I was like, next day there.
Next day? Hi, first in line. I've been waiting.
That's so cute.
So then you made the red book and the blue one from Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decided to go back to Indonesia. Since you had that problem, you were like, maybe now I can have like the experience that I wanted.
Yeah,
so
sure.
After COVID, you went back. How was that experience?
In Indonesia?
So I know already that you had quite traumatic...
That laugh is...
You had know something. Quite traumatic experience in Indonesia for the second time you went.
Mm-hmm.
So this is... after COVID, you decide to go back. You're already thinking about doing a book for this. So you had your plan... That was quite... so basically you wanted to live with tribes there?
Yeah.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah. That was the goal, to live in nature as closer as possible.
To nature, yeah. So you had one book more of like desert vibes, one more like ocean, Greece, and then it was like all about nature and tribes. So something happened. You want to go through... You don't need to go deeply about it, but... That book is the latest one that you have released, right?
Yeah, I have them here with me.
Oh my God, give it to us!
I love a gift.
I'm so excited.
Thank you so much. Christmas came early.
You know what? I already have the blue one and I'm so excited to have this one. But I know that I'm going to miss one on my collection that is like super sold out. So I'm just waiting for you to release the red
this
one.
This is so pretty.
It's so cute.
This is so aesthetic.
It is.
Thank you.
I'm going to put it in my living room.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like it's such a nice decor piece for the house. Oh my God, it has like... This comes with a book?
Yeah.
How cute.
Wow. It's your pictures?
Pretty.
Yeah. It's all my pictures in the book.
My God. It's very beautiful. I love the shade of green that you picked.
It's
Thank you.
Wasabi.
It's wasabi. Yeah. So, this book has some drama in it. I don't know how much you want to spoil it because everything is written in here, mm-hmm. like your experience. Yeah.
Okay.
So, it was supposed to be all fun and games, you being in the tribe, experiencing the raw Indonesia. But something changed the course of your trip.
Yes.
Yeah. So you want to like resume a little bit, maybe not spoil everything, but tell people what's going to happen on this book.
I don't want to put that book just about that experience.
Yeah.
I don't want to focus the bad experience and stick it to Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
Because this kind of experience can happen
anywhere when you're traveling. That's for sure.
But in the end of the book, we were traveling on the boat on the Mentawais.
And the boat, the name of the tribe?
It's also the name of the tribe, yeah. But it's also the name of our archipelago.
Okay.
So we were there on a small island with no one. It's an empty island. And once, when we wanted to go back to the main island, the boat sunk. There was big waves crashing on top of the boat. And it turned around. And everything and everyone went to the sea.
And it was nighttime, right? Or
it was sunset time, and quickly it started to be nighttime. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So you didn't really know where you were at. You were like in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah. We were in the middle of the ocean. We could see some mangroves. We hang to some mangroves.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you know what a mangrove is. A mangrove is like a. I'm not sure if this is the actual definition of it, but it's like trees that grow on the ocean, on the middle of the sea. It's not ocean, it's like sea.
Yeah.
So we could hang to some roots, but before that we had to swim to the roots.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's the scariest thing I can imagine. And you lost everything that you had with you.
I lost mainly electronics. Obviously, because of the order. But we tried to carry the weight of the backpacks that we had with us. It was like a super, super heavy, but we had to carry.
But they were all wet, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like lost stuff. Did you lose a lot of stuff, like photos and everything from the...
Actually, no. All the photos that I have, the SD cards keep it, the digital ones. And the analog ones, it got some psychedelic effects on it because of the water on the film. But I still have everything.
Wow.
Almost everything. Not
and
everything.
I have like a water bottle open inside my bag and my camera dies.
Yeah. Maybe it was meant to be.
It was meant for you to have
this experience and still have the photos after it. So you don't want to focus on that because the rest of the experience was...
It was amazing.
Positive. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was positive. And actually, no one really wanted that to happen.
Yeah, of course. So you don't blame anyone.
I don't blame anyone.
Yeah, of course.
No.
It happens. I feel like when you put yourself at risk while traveling, to gain something, you need to lose something sometimes. Sometimes it goes well, sometimes it goes bad. Like even like getting sick when you're abroad, it's very scary. Yeah. Like even like a flu. Because you're in a place where you don't know anyone, no one is there to take care of you and give you like soup and tea, or you don't know any doctors. So everything is new and you need to go through that if you want new experiences. So,
yeah. For sure.
So what was a favorite part about Indonesia?
I think I love Indonesia from head to toe.
Okay. There's nothing bad.
She's a keeper.
Well, there's a lot. She's a keeper. you can focus on the bad and you can focus on the good.
Okay. Yeah.
I rather focus on the good, but there's also bad sides everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Everywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I rather focus on the good sides of Indonesia. And Indonesia is a country of a huge, huge culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have many islands with their own language. Also when it comes to architecture, when it comes to textiles, patterns, stuff like that, it's super inspiring to move to different islands. Indonesia is like one of the main sources of inspiration for me right now, and I really like and I love Indonesia.
Nice. So now this is the last one. Do you have a plan for a fourth book, or are you done?
I'm not so sure about the fourth book. I'm thinking of Japan. I would like to do one in Japan, a white one in the snow of Japan.
Oh my god.
Yay!
Wow. Japan, like I spend hours like looking at pictures of Japan in the snow.
It's so pretty, like Mount Fuji landscapes full of
snow. It's like it's so hard to like travel in such cold temperatures. Even now, like I'm thinking of doing a travel like in January, February, but it's so cold.
It is.
Like that I keep, I don't know. Yeah.
It's hard to have the lifestyle when it's that cold, when it's in snow. I've been in Japan in snow and it was just for a few days. It was my first time there. And it gets hard like, even sometimes they're cleaning the streets or maybe you sleep, like a lot of people sleeping and falling. It's not as easy to have the lifestyle and still have the pretty landscapes. But I think maybe if you like rent a car and have like a different, instead of like a city lifestyle, you really go through countryside with a car. Mm-hmm. It might be like possible to have a really nice trip and just do more cozy stuff like coffee shops.
The way that I think is if I put a dream in my mind, I would just want to achieve it.
Yeah.
No matter how the conditions are.
Yeah. Of course, you have that goal.
I just want to pursue the goal.
It's different than just like being a touristy and like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to capture those images. I want to go where I thought of going.
You should climb it, Mount Fuji.
I
it's a very nice.
I actually made a promise of you know this one.
I want to go with you. Let me know when you go.
Can I go too?
Yeah, let's all go.
Let's go.
Okay, let's go.
It's a hard climb.
But do you remember the promise that I did in Australia?
No.
No?
What was the promise?
So I met a super cute lady.
I know, that's so. You remember that story? Tell. Yeah.
So when I was living in Australia, part of my stay there was on a hostel. Yeah. I was working for accommodation on a hostel. And in that day, I was preparing breakfast for everyone. And a lady, like 70, 80 years old, approached me. She was traveling alone. She was like the most inspiring person that I ever met, I think.
She was Japanese?
Or? She was from Hawaii.
Hawaii. Okay.
No, she was from Thailand, I think, but she was living in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And she approached me and she just, she was very, very cute, like very humble.
very, very cute.
Yeah, she was super approachable, super humble, super fun to talk with.
Yeah. She was like, you're gonna be my friend.
Gonna be my son. No, grandson.
Imagine.
It was actually funny because I met her in one day and in the day after I went to work, I just said, okay, I'm going to work, blah, blah, blah. I'll be back at this time. I think she asked me what time I'll be back. And once I got back, she had the dinner ready, waiting for me.
Oh my God, how cute.
Yeah, she was super nice. And then she left, I think, on the third day that I met her. And she left me a book about a trip to Mount Fuji. And she made me promise before I knew that she was going to give me that book that I would hike Mount Fuji.
Okay, you have to do it.
That's a sign for
okay,
sure.
Okay, exciting. Wow. I'm going to buy that book as well.
Yeah.
So, what do you think was like the weirdest cultural shock you've had so far? If you can, if you can like pinpoint. I know it's a very difficult question.
Yeah. Or where did you felt it the most from all those places? The place you feel the most cultural or different from Portugal?
That's a good question. On the top of my head, it's Morocco.
Yeah.
Because they are very... I don't know how to say it.
On you?
On you, yeah, all the time.
Okay.
So you don't feel like that personal space that you can find in other countries. Like they are just very close to you all the time.
Yeah.
And they try to push you to places and just grab you and do stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was one of the biggest cultural shock that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then the tribes in Indonesia was also something very peculiar.
Yeah, I bet.
but I like that kind of experiences.
Yeah,
perfect. So yeah, we're gonna be waiting for your invite for us to go climb Mount Fuji.
Yes. Let's
in the go. Meantime, in the meantime, we brought you some spicy questions. Which oh is God. Something I don't know if you know, but it's a part of this podcast. Whenever we have a guest, we have some spicy questions. There's 10 balls inside that little sock. Okay. Christmas song. And we have 10 for you, but you only reply to 5. So you can like browse around and, I don't know, pick. Okay. It's like a lucky pick. And you only have one pass. So if there's something that you cannot answer to, or you don't want to, you can use a pass. But it's only one.
Only one. Choose wisely.
Pinkball time!
So there are
like a free
10
pass.
Questions.
You're only going to pick 5. So
okay.
From 5, you can skip one.
Okay.
Not answer one.
Or you can just answer them.
Yeah, you can be like a
let's see,
good
let's
trooper. See. You can read out loud first.
Have you ever ghosted people you met on travels after you left?
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of. I never did this, no. I don't like to do these kind of things, actually.
Do ghost people? So sweet.
I don't like to do this.
If I want to say something to a person, I just say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like you're direct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it might hurt people in the end, and yeah. I don't feel like hurting people.
Of course.
Second?
Yes.
Go for it.
I don't like to do this type of thing.
Oh my God, wait. I remember this TikTok I saw. I saw this girl interviewing a guy in Japan. And she was like, what do you think about the people that have like two girlfriends at the same time and that they cheat on the girlfriend? And he was like, is that legal? She was like, yeah. And he was like, no, 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 no. He was like panicking. He's like, no, no, no.
That's
that was really
sweet.
Sweet. So yeah, you reminded me of that. You're like, I don't want to do that.
No. I don't want to hurt people. I'm sorry if I ever hurt someone that is watching this.
He reads it on first to see.
I'm thinking, what's the biggest scam you ever fell for?
Scam? Oh, that's interesting.
Scam. Yeah, when you're traveling, sometimes people try to scam you. Like sell you mm-hmm. something, bring you to a little like... shady.
Have you also had that in Morocco?
No, because when I went to Morocco, I went with my dad, and he has been in Morocco a few times, so he takes over. Like my dad is like one of them. He's like, show me this, show me that. No, no, that's too expensive. I'm like, but my dad got scammed in Morocco once. They sold him really expensive tea.
A tea.
Because he went with an old man, so he got a little soft-hearted with the man being old, and then the man was like, here is it, you came with me, so now you buy this tea, like $100 or something.
Whoa.
And my dad was like, fuck, it can happen.
Yeah.
If I would answer this, would be Morocco as well.
Yeah.
I remember one day there we wanted to visit the leather things in Marrakesh.
Okay.
Where they put the color on the leather, where they... treat the leather.
Mm-hmm. The leather, yeah.
I don't know the word for that in English. But we just wanted to go there by ourselves without a guide. So we just started walking and seeing on Google Maps. We try not to look so much on Google Maps because if you look, people know that you are a tourist.
Yeah,
so we
yeah.
just wanted to go to a corner and see how, where we were. But people start to approach us and we said, no, no, we don't need, blah, 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 yeah. blah. And there was one in the end that took us to the leather things.
Okay.
And he was friendly. We were saying that we didn't want a guide, but he just started to be friendly yeah. and okay, you can stay. Stay with us. Okay. And then in the end, he took us to a store to show us some carpets and stuff like that. And I was already feeling a bit like discomfortable with that kind of
yeah.
Situation and person. But the friend that I was traveling with, is super like, he loves everyone.
A friendly.
So he's like a very golden retriever kind yeah. of person.
He was falling for the trap. Yeah.
And then he just took us to the second floor of the house. was a very tiny
oh my god, I would not climb place. Any stairs.
Yeah.
I would not go to a second floor of anything.
And he just started being like pushy and aggressive for us to buy stuff. And I just remember grabbing my friend and said, okay, we are leaving now.
Okay.
And he was still trying to speak with them, blah, blah, blah. But it was not going to improve.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just said, okay, we are leaving now. We are going. Yeah. And then we just started walking on the outside of the store. A lot of people gathered there, like screaming and shouting with us.
Because you didn't buy anything. You
we
just
didn't
left.
Buy. Yeah.
Oh
we
my god.
We didn't want to buy anything. We are not going to take a carpet with us. We have a small luggage to carry our stuff.
Great. Was it a little scary, maybe?
Yeah. The guy started to push us.
Oh my god.
Like,
I
starting
would
feel
to so fight.
Sad.
I would cry. I'll pay. I'll take the carpet with me.
I like 100 carpets.
I'll just ship it home. DHL Morocco.
Yeah, and that happened.
You got scammed.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
You can... But in the end, nothing happened, and I still love Morocco.
And you didn't spend any money.
Yeah, exactly.
So you weren't really scammed.
Yeah, they tried to scam you.
Yeah. I think I never had a
good for
big,
you.
Big scam.
Yeah.
Second, third.
Third one, you're doing great.
Can I give the question to one of you instead?
Of course!
No, but I want to see the question
first.
Okay.
So we reply?
Yeah.
We reply?
Yes.
Wait.
You reply
that's
too.
Not part of the
you
rule.
Reply too. Okay. You're getting scared.
No, it's
no.
Okay. Let's see.
He's flipping this on us.
Yes.
Name a country you'd never do a book about.
Yeah, we cannot reply to
that. I was thinking about that as well. I don't know how to answer this. I think
you don't want to exclude any possibility.
Because even if I think like a country that I would not like to travel to, for example, North Korea or something like that.
Oh, that would be super interesting.
That would be interesting, right?
Super interesting.
I would read that book.
So everyone would read that book to know what's happening there.
Yeah,
like
even that one,
window.
I would like to
have
do
you
a
seen
book
those
about.
Like TikTok videos where everything is like so eerie?
Yeah.
And they say that everything is staged.
Yeah.
Like people are actors in the street and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And they just take you to the places that they want to show you.
That's
insane.
And you have to go on buses where they want to.
And you can actually travel to North Korea, but you need a guide.
Yeah, but it's so stupid because if they just show you what they want and it's all filtered, like you're not really traveling there. You're traveling
to a nice story. Like I would like to know, even if you go with guide, like what did you see? You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be an interesting book for
sure. My boyfriend wants to go. My boyfriend would love to go.
Yeah, he should. Maybe not the best timing though.
Maybe not.
All right, you can skip
that. I don't have a country that I wouldn't do a book about.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that might work as your pass. Just saying.
Yeah.
Because you didn't answer.
Yeah, that was a pass.
That was my answer.
That was a pass. Okay. No, you have to name.
Oh, this is a big one. It's folded twice. What's the most uncomfortable moment you have had when photographing someone local? Did they ever ask you to delete the photo?
Did you have trouble? Because sometimes, like, we...
Morocco.
Oh, my God. You're like, I'm not going to Morocco.
No, go. But it's a different culture.
Yeah, of course.
They don't want to be photographed in Morocco. If in Indonesia they love to be photographed,
okay.
They just smile and start to talking. And in Morocco, it's the opposite. They start to be aggressive and they want you to delete the pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you just mostly meet the person and then you tell them what the photo is about.
Yeah.
Or you take photos of their back.
Okay. Without them noticing.
Yeah.
Wow. Last one.
You go.
Oh. You made this question.
I'm being so quiet in here? Why are you attacking me?
Have you ever done something illegal in another country?
I didn't. Was it me? I don't remember. I don't think so.
Am I drunk?
Yes.
He's like, yes.
I got arrested in London.
What the hell?
Why? I didn't know that.
You're just like dropping
things. I don't know.
And the funniest thing about this story is that I got arrested with my mom.
Well, if you're arrested,
you want to be with your mom.
Yeah. Mama got you.
But
yeah.
My mom was not arrested. She didn't know what was going on.
Oh, so she was like, what the fuck is my son doing here?
Yeah.
Okay, what happened?
Because everyone was speaking very quickly in English. Okay. And she knows English, but not that well.
Yeah.
So she was not understanding anything that was going on. And she was freaking out. And a lot of police just started to do a circle around me, starting to put the cameras on and stuff like that.
What the hell?
With guns and stuff.
What did you do? I don't know about this.
Yeah.
What? What happened? I'm getting scared.
It was not that big of a deal. I was traveling with a fake ticket to the trains.
Okay.
Where did you get that?
My dealer. My fake ticket dealer.
I got that.
Okay.
Somewhere.
But what was the point? Was it like cheaper?
Not to
cheaper.
Pay.
Yeah. Like half the price or something like that. Like the monthly normal price that the ticket takes you everywhere. I just
like an Oyster?
Yeah.
Like something.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So... how, like, they arrested you on the spot. Did you go with them somewhere?
No.
Okay.
So but it was just like a big
act.
So, I gave my credit card to my mom. Because in London, you can open the gates with card. So, she was safe. And I was traveling with a fake ticket. We got inside of the subway. We took the train, but on the way out of the train station, I was not being able to open the gate.
Okay.
My mom was already on the other side of the gate,
and
mine was not opening. They have a lot of cameras there.
So it was like a big, almost like show, like everyone
and
was staring.
And your mom was like confused, poor thing. Yeah.
And she was on the other side of the gate.
Did you have to pay a lot of money, like a fine?
Actually, no.
What?
Because in the end, I
he was like, I didn't mean for, I don't want to hurt people. And they were like, fine, just go live your life.
Actually, the police officer that was taking care of the situation, because there was a time there was like 10 people there. But this officer was, I think, taking care of it.
Yeah.
Like the responsible or someone like that. I don't know if I should say this on camera.
What? That you almost got arrested?
No, because then we just started being friends and he turned off the camera.
Oh, it's fine.
And he let it slide.
Yeah.
And then he let it slide. But I think they just wanted to show...
Yeah, put on a show.
Put me a lesson on, you know.
Yeah. Damn. I never... Yeah, that's crazy.
How long did it last, though, the your ticket? Like...
A month,
okay.
Yeah. The day after, I had to go to the police station to take those mugshots.
You have a mugshot? Wait, can you send us your mugshot?
I don't have the photo.
Oh my God, we could insert the mugshot in the video. That would be
so
iconic.
You were cuffs. You had a mugshot?
And the prints of the fingers as well.
Wow.
The fingerprints.
So you have, like, how do you say? When you have, like, you have a record.
A record.
In the
Only
UK?
In London, yeah. Yeah.
I would love to see those shots. That could be, like, used on a book. That could be your profile picture.
Oh, yeah.
You had to hold on something like this.
I don't remember.
Oh my God.
We were like, we are so interested in the mic. Like,
oh my God.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That was a good last question.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
You did really well.
Yeah.
And I would
Iris
have...
wrote this question.
Yeah. I don't remember. Maybe. Maybe. There were some worst ones in there. So you got lucky.
You were lucky.
Yeah. Okay. some more. Then you can, after the episode, you can check it out. But yeah, now we have just one last little game, which is geo-guessing. So basically, we're gonna, we all can play together. We're trying to guess the place based on, is it a picture or is it like Google Maps?
Picture, yeah.
Picture.
Game time.
All right, so we have an image here. Very snowy place. Isn't it like, there's this thing that like Greenland is filled of snow and Iceland's full of green, right?
Yeah.
So is it Greenland maybe? I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you think, the travel expert?
He has like, he's feeling, I feel like he already knows. I feel like he knows.
He's zooming a lot. I'm just seeing him like doing stuff.
I have no idea. I just think that it looks a lot like Serra da Estrela in Portugal.
Really? In Portugal?
The tower.
Yeah. Yeah, but our snow is not that fluffy, is it? I don't know. I feel like our snow is so hard.
Yeah, our snow is very disappointing.
I'm trying to get some clues from the people. But
are they white, black, Asian?
Well, everyone is being covered from head to toe with glasses and beanies and...
It can also be like a ski, I don't know, like some mountains in Europe.
I have no idea about this place.
Do you want to try and guess it though? Like just say...
I say Greenland. It's my guess.
Is it Greenland?
Oh my god, you were right!
No fucking way! Can I see it?
Our snow is that pretty? You're so right.
Wow. Slay.
1 point for you, zero.
I was like, wait, can you? I picked one and I was like, this is the one I do not know and it's in my country.
Travel more on the
maybe
inside.
Maybe I need to travel more on the inside. Now you pick one because,
okay.
Clearly.
So I'm going to pick this one. I'm going to read. This is like a city. So we all just check it. It's like a city vibes, but I feel like we need to zoom in on those signs so we can get a little... It's in English, right? The sign?
Santander Bank.
Okay, so maybe Spain or...
Santander.
It's not in Europe.
Do we have...
It's not in Europe?
No.
No.
Oh, wow. Santander is like...
You think it's like the US? You think he's Australian? He's being the detective.
Can I see?
Does it have cars?
I don't think it's Australia. So the cars in Australia, at least I've never been to that huge of cities in Australia. But mostly the cars are like a pickup style, like American kind of style.
Mm-hmm. And there are cars on that picture?
Yeah.
Okay.
The number of the car, I don't know how to say it.
The
but it's not
plate?
European.
Yeah.
The what?
The license plate.
Yeah. It's not European.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Maybe Canada? No. Could it be Canada?
Maybe. Do you want to
see.
But yeah, Canada, they must have like good cars too, like America. Yeah, I don't know. I'm so bad at this game. I'm gonna say Canada.
Is it Canada?
Okay, that's .da. This is the site, the website, or is this because .da is Germany? Okay, so I'm gonna stick with Canada.
Not Canada then. Wait, there's a bus stop here. Long as
there's people. I don't see no one. Wait, it could be
South Africa.
Is it South Africa?
Oh my god, stop. It's like killing this game.
Slay. Cape Town. Have you ever been to Cape Town?
No, not
yet.
Okay. I would love to go.
Okay.
We loved having you here and talking about traveling. And I love the new book. It's very cute.
Thank
you. Is it still available for people to buy?
Yeah, you can buy it on theredtour.com.
Good.
Yay.
And get it while you can, because then if you lose one, your collection will be missing forever, like mine. So really take advantage of it and start now buying the books. I'm going to wait for the white one.
It's very, very so pretty. Congratulations
Thank
on
you
everything
very much.
You've achieved so far.
We're going to put your handles in case anyone wants to follow the Red Tour. And see you next Monday.
See you next Monday, guys. Thank you for watching. Bye.
Bye.